Losing a Rebbe is a very difficult thing. Losing a Rebbe who's a bucky, who's an expert, Kota, Kula, Nigla, Nister, Shas, Poskin, Luster's Farm, whatever, a bucky, an expert, is very difficult. And losing such a Rebbe, such a giant, such a giant of a man in such a horrific, barbaric fashion. It's almost too much for the heart and the mind to bear. And I think that this is very important, not just for those that merited to know him, to be touched by him, to see him, to watch him, but every single person here, all of Yisrael, they have to hear this, they have to know that. And I'll tell you why. There's three reasons. You know, we live in a global village. And it used to be in Poland, someone died, they didn't know about it in Russia, they didn't even know about the next village. And here, everyone saw the horrible scene. Everyone's hearts were bleeding, were ripped to shreds at the pictures of the Kedoshim and the Talis and Tefillin. Hashem wasn't just sending a wake-up call to people that are aching and missing and hurting because they knew the Kedoshim personally. Hashem was sending a wake-up call to every single person whose heart is bleeding. Hashem made your heart bleed. Hashem made your heart bleed. It's so exact. Every single person whose heart is bleeding and felt nauseous and sick and didn't know where to put himself, Hashem's telling you something. He wants you to listen. He wants you to learn. He wants you to wake up. It's not just for close family members in Talbidim, the whole world. In addition, reason number two, why this applies to everybody here, the Gedolim came out, and the Gedolim said, these Kedoshim that died, it wasn't just for them, it wasn't for them, it wasn't because of them. They were picked, they were hand-picked, but they were sacrifices for the whole Tzibur. They were Karban Tzibur. Klai Yisrael, Jewish people, we needed. We had heavy Gzeiros against us. Mashiach is coming. We need these sacrifices. This is a sacrifice. Every one of us, we have to say thank you. We owe it to the Kedoshim who took the fall for Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael had Gzeiros. Klai Yisrael had Tzaras. And a Karban Tzibur means that the Tzibur went ahead on Yom Kippur. We offer a sheep to be slaughtered. Right? We offer sheep to be slaughtered. And that gives us a kapara. So we personally, we can't turn a blind eye and say, we don't know these people. But it was for us. It was a carbon tzibur. We're part of the tzibur. Gemara tells us, final reason. Gemara says that shkula misa tzadikim, when a tzadik dies, it's equal. Kisreifas beis elokeinu. Like the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Every one of us knows what a horrible, we don't even realize how bad it is. The fact that the Beis HaMikdash was burnt, what an effect it had on Klal Yisrael. Till today, we sit down on Tisha B'Av and we cry that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But you know something? When a Talmid Chacham, when a Tzaddik, and I'm going to talk to you about what an amazing Tzaddik my Rebbe was, when a Tzaddik dies, it's the same thing. Because the Beis HaMikdash is a place where heaven and earth meet. You can go to the Shekhinah, you want to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's a tzaddik. You see, that's my Rebbe. You go to a tzaddik, heaven and earth meet. You want to feel the Shekhinah, you want to feel the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, you go to a tzaddik. When a tzaddik dies, when a tzaddik is destroyed, torn apart, it's straight for space of kingdom. It's Christ, so we have to mourn it. I feel a little bit like me coming to speak about my Rebbe. It's almost a joke. Take a poor man that spent his whole life, he never had more than 2 shekels in his pocket, and say, do me a favor, can you tell us what kind of carat is this diamond? How much would you value? How could I talk about such a... How could anybody? We don't come up to my Rebbe's ankles. And you're going to hear stories that will blow you away. You can't believe such a person walked on this earth. And for me to come and say, listen, my Rebbe was like this and my Rebbe was like that, it's a joke. It's a joke. And I say it with a heavy heart, but I ask Mechila, but I feel like, you know, Baruch Hashem, I was witness, and I want to share with you what I witnessed. A little bit that I witnessed, but I'm no means fitting to go ahead and explain to you what my Rebbe was like. Number one, I can't even come close. Number two, my Rebbe was such a secretive person. everything he did was hidden. Hidden from his family, from his relatives, his brother-in-law. God, there was a big Chacham got up last night at this bedroom and said, how could it be we didn't know? We knew he was great, but how could it be we didn't know? And he went on to say all these things, the Rebbe hid. The Rebbe did, how could it be we didn't know? So whatever I'm going to tell you, even if I could tell you, there half of them are hidden. Half of them are hidden. We'll never know. We'll never know. So let me give you a little background. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you is, I went a few times to the Shiva house, things that I saw myself, spending years with my Rebbe, things I heard from my friends, things that I heard at the Shiva house from the Rebbetzin. You'll hear what a tzaddikah she is from Rebbe's children, from other people, from Rabbanim that were close to my Rebbe. The Moshe Tversky, let me give a little background. He was the grandson of Salvechik, Rav Yosef Ben Salvechik, Rav Yosef Philip Salvechik, everyone knows the Rav. He was the grandson of the Rav, the great-grandson of Rav Moshe Salvechik, the great-great-grandson of Rav Chaim Brisker, who was really revolutionized. All the yeshivas are following Rav Chaim's derech. So learning Torah from my Rebbe was like in his genes. It was in his blood. But he wasn't just a regular grandchild. You have to understand of Salvechik with all his towering abilities, okay, that I'm sure many of you have heard about. He said, someone told me this, he said he put more kochos into Rav Moshe Tversky, into his grandson, than to anybody else, even his own son. And he was listing off his Talmud, and he said, I gave this Talmud, this Talmud got that for me. And this Talmud got that for me. And this Talmud got that for me. And Moshe, what about Moshe? He said, Moshe is me. I gave over. You understand, by Brisker people, there's something called a Mesorah. This is something that we're a little bit removed from. It's not do good, feel good Judaism. It's so exact as a Mesorah, what we receive from our parents, our grandparents, passed down. Rav Salvechik felt he put the Mesorah in Rav Moshe Tversky. That was his continuation. Moshe is me, he said. My Rebbe was a phenomenal masmid. We learn every day. Phenomenal masmid. Hours and hours and hours and hours. Late at night, his children never saw him sleeping. They knew he slept 3.5 hours. He was always up when they got up, and he was always still learning when they went to sleep at night. He didn't sleep on Shabbos. He said, Shabbos is too precious. Shabbos is Kodesh. I'm going to waste time sleeping. He didn't sleep on Shabbos. He didn't sleep. Learning and learning. Rabbi Buckler. Going to be here tonight. His close friend of Rav Tversky's. We used to always enjoy watching Rav Tversky's. Rav was such a big masmid, always into learning, but to see him have a good chaver was always, the Talmidim would always love watching them be together. He said that when Rebbe was 32 years old, I'm older than that, Rebbe knew all of Shas B'Iyan, except for Maseches Erevin. That was when he was 32. B'Iyan, and he knew it well. With Rishonim when he was 32 years old. All this Asmana produced, I'm just talking right now about learning. Just learning. He was a goyim. He was a tremendous, tremendous giant. His shiurim, I can't, the second kedushin, the second I went to the shiur, it'll stay by me forever. It was such sweet Torah, so clear. You could come over, ask him anything, any topic, wherever you are, you want to ask him something, he's there. He's been there already. He's thought it out. He has a clear understanding of it. That was from Rebbe's mother's side. Rebbe's father, the head of the Judaic department in Harvard. He was descendant of the Chernobyl and the Tolner Hasidic dynasties. Like a descendant, meaning he was like in the Rebbe line, the Admor line. Such a different world than Brisk. And Rebbe brought it all together. My Rebbe, Rav Shmuel Orbach, he called my Rebbe a Gaon in Kabbalah. Rebbe spent decades learning Kabbalah, learning Nistar and a private Chabura, B'nai Brak by Rav Elia Weintraub, who was one of the Zatzal was one of the big Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe mastered Torah Sinistra. He was a master in Kabbalah. He shalashuddis, his Shabbos meal. Even though learning, his Shabbos meal was hours of singing songs. His Rebbetzin was famous as an amazing cook, Bachum Mekum, for the great combination, Olam Hazeh, like Olam Haba. Hours of singing Divrei Torah, asking him every, like Q&A, every question under the sun, and another song, and another song. And Shalashuddis, Rebbe would walk from Harnof to I think it's in Ezra's Torah neighborhood, the half hour, 45 minutes to be by Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg. Maybe you've ever heard of him. Been by him, Matzah Shabbos, like a nice environment of chizuk, of singing, of Hasidish Torah. Rebbe touched all worlds. His genius in Torah, his asmada, and his olam hasidus. It was all together. But what was amazing, and I think something that we could take, a little bit we could take, I'm going to talk about what we could take. Rebbe never stopped. Some people, they're so big, they stop. Well, you learn a little more. Rebbe was always looking to go this way, that way. Grow more in this area, grow more in that area. Work in this area, work in that area. He had like an unquenchable thirst. He just wanted more, more, more. And that led Rebbe down a path of avoda, which is so unusual. It's hard to imagine that such a person walked, who sat in the same room as me. Hard to imagine. Rebbe wasn't content with being a gaon and learning. He wasn't content with his chassidus. He wasn't content with his avoda, with his. He wanted a higher madriga. Just listen. The path. It's almost these words of kedusha and tahara. It sounds so far from us. But I just want to give you an example. We heard the Rebbe talking. Just what Rebbe would eat every day. Just listen, food. Just listen what Rebbe would eat. We'd wake up in the morning, always go to the mikvah, before davening, after davening, whatever it was. Breakfast, he would have a whole wheat pita, no salt, no sugar. Rebbe said she was sure it tasted horrible. Rebbe said, Tam Gan Eden. That's all we had. Whole wheat pita. Then the Rebbe would cut up two fruits, take with him to yeshiva, and she would cut up lots of small pieces of chocolate. Par of chocolate, because Rebbe had a lot of chumras, which I'm going to explain to you why. Rebbe didn't drink milk or any milk products for over 20 years. But nobody knew about it. It's quiet. It's fierce. So she cut up little pieces of par of chocolate to Rebbe. Why? Because Rebbe drank a lot of black coffee. The black coffee, Rebbe wasn't sure if he could make a bracha on. So he'd have a little piece of chocolate, make a bracha on his coffee. That kept Rebbe going to yeshiva lunchtime. Everyone goes to lunch. Rebbe sits in his room. Chavrusa, then he goes to lunch. Another chavrusa. Comes home at night, 11:30, 12 o'clock. He hasn't eaten anything. He learned it. Packing his body with tire. Now, such a person, when I'm out of the house the whole day, they eat. You're running. Okay, what can I have? Rebbe comes home. Shalom Lechem. Sits down. Learns. And run home and eat. Learns. Food. After 10 minutes of learning, 15 minutes of learning, then he would ask the Rebbe, can I please have a little bite to eat? And when El approached recently, I don't know how many years back this started happening, but the Rebbe noticed that even the little pizza that she gave, Rebbe wasn't taking, and she started to think, like, why aren't you, El? She asked him, how come you're not taking? Are you fasting? And Rebbe, in his typical Rebbe's response, is, why are you asking? Why do you even think that? What answer? And she realized, she noticed, he fasted the whole hour. Food, gashmis, was he became a kadosh. And it was a secret. This was a secret. This was between Rebbe and Hashem. And his Rebbe's man had suspicions. And that's it. His sons constantly said to Shiva, like, they weren't allowed to say things. The only story Rebbe would do things. He said, don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. He wants it to be between him and Hashem. His son knew, his wife knew, but please keep it a secret. A secret. Secret tzaddik. Secret tzaddik. At some point, my Rebbe felt that there's a certain tzaddik in England, Manchester, or Shiva, or Segal. Rebbe wanted to be mishamish. He wanted to go get close to him. And obviously, with his wife's encouragement, he left his house for 40 days. He left his house. Long business trip. Yeah, the business of serving Hashem. 40 days he went to England, and he sat there with Dusha of Tahara. Now, I want to tell you, Rav Elia Weintraub, I think this was him, the one who taught him Kabbalah for all these decades. I think he was also Rav Pinkus' Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, in Kabbalah. He wrote a letter, which his brother-in-law said, I had a fight with the family if I could read this letter, because they didn't want to publicize it. They wanted the secrecy, was so important to him. But the letters was written to the Manchester Shiva. It said, please take care of him. He's a future Gadol B'Yisrael. He's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. So, you see what we lost? This is not something like, oh, I didn't know him. A future Gadol B'Yisrael. A Kadosh B'Tomer was taken away from us. Another Rebbe of mine, we learned the Chavrusa with Zoritorsky, and almost the whole day. And as El got closer, the Rebbetzin went over to him. The Rebbetzin begged him, please be mocho. Because I want my husband wants to go. I want my husband to go back to England for another another period. I know you learn yours chavrusa. You can't just leave his chavrusa. You can't just leave your chavrusa morning seder if you want to sleep. You have an obligation to your chavrusa, right? And the Rebbe felt he can't leave his chavrusa for 40 days or for 2 weeks or 3 weeks to go to England to become closer to the tzaddik, to become better in Moshe Shem. She begged him. His Rebbetzin begged my Rebbe, Rebbe Klein, please, can you let him go? Can you let him go? The chumras that the Rebbe had, it's something that we can't appreciate. He didn't wear glasses out on Shabbos because he was afraid of carrying. He didn't drink milk, he said, for over 20 years. He had an Erev Tchumen in Givat Shaul, which is something that we can't understand. Yom Kippur, he was careful not to swallow saliva. One time, my wife actually, for a period, my in-laws lived upstairs, and one Shabbos, pouring rain before it was proper sewage, you know, proper rain, you know, rain holes, whatever it was, and the rain was pouring down the hill, and my wife could see out the window, my father was coming up from shul, and they noticed Retorsky standing in the middle of this torrential downpour, standing in a giant puddle, just standing there. Now, it could be he was thinking about a Rambam. Could be. But most probably. And my father came back, but a half hour later, he was still there. He was still there standing in the puddle in the rain. Why? So, most people don't get nervous about these things. Not nervous. They're not worried about these things. But maybe if you're drenched in water in your socks on Shabbos, maybe you're going to walk. Maybe you'll be squeezing your socks. I don't know how long Rebbe stood there. I don't know how he resolved it. But he spent a good downpour in the middle, just standing there. Probably going through shots and posting in his head to see if he's comfortable to take the next step. This is how he lived. But I want to tell you something. When you think of someone who has a lot of chumras, they don't eat milk, they only buy fruits and vegetables in one store in Yerushalayim somewhere, they only eat meat from one person who does a certain way. You think of a person who's like uptight, who thinks he's better than everyone else. My Rebbe had a sweet smile. And he always gave his talmidim. Always. And he never felt, and I'll tell you how I know. And you can see, he never felt better than anyone else. Once Sukkot morning, his son said this over. Once Sukkot morning, he woke up, him and his son, 3 a.m. And they walked from Harnof, they made the trek somewhere else in Yerushalayim, far away. Rebbe had a lulav and esrog that he wanted to shake, that he felt was like so mehudar. Now, we don't know how much time he spent looking for the best esrog, but he found one. There was one that someone had in this place, Yerushalayim, that was super good. Rebbe wanted to shake it the first day. We know that we can't imagine the simcha Rebbe had shaking that lulav and esrog. We think we could experience such a simcha in our life, shaking that lulav and esrog. They walked all the way there, shook it, wow. Walked all the way back. When they got back to Harnof, Rebbe said to his son, I want you, don't think for one second, not for one second, don't think that we're better than anybody else because we did this. We did what we felt we had to do. Everyone else does what they feel they have to do. Don't think for one second we're any better. There was no feelings. Rebbe did what he had to do, and that was it. Every year, my Rebbe, this story, I'm starting to tell you, it's like you'll hear this story about a Rebbe, like in the hundreds of years ago. Rebbe's matzahs. You can imagine shaking the lulav and esrog, walking miles. Imagine what Rebbe's matzahs were like, and how much money, and how much care, and how much chumras to make these perfect matzahs, and Rebbe wouldn't eat anything else, on Pesach, right? He's got his matzahs. One year, box of matzahs arrived. You were crushed. Crushed. You know what that means? How are you going to make hamotzi? I'm crushed on matzah meal. They were crushed because someone wasn't careful. And the Rebbe Tzin was watching, and she realized, because someone wasn't careful, her husband's yontif is like, what's going to happen? He's so careful for so many years, and it means so much to him, and his matzahs are crushed. And Rebbe stood there. His face was red. I heard the Rebbe say the story at the Shiva. His face was red. Then he started singing a song to himself. He started singing a song to himself. The Rebbe asked him afterwards, what were you singing? He says, why are you making a big deal about nothing? Why are you making a big deal about nothing? His chumras and his yiras Hashem, his avodas Hashem, it didn't get in the way of it didn't make him angry. He had such a love for his mitzvahs. One time, one of the talmidim in yeshiva, middle of the afternoon, caught Rebbe, middle of lunch, putting on tefillin. What would you see if you saw your Rebbe putting on tefillin in the middle of the day? Rebbe, why are you putting on tefillin? You know what Rebbe said? My son's just getting bar mitzvah soon. and I bought him a new pair of tefillin. So many hidurin. So many, such a good pair of tefillin. How could I not wear it? He wanted to wear the tefillin. How could I not wear it? 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he wore tefillin already that day. I don't know how many pairs he wore tefillin that day. But he's got a fresh pair of tefillin that's so kosher. Oh, he just wants to put it on. Put the tefillin on his head. He loved mitzvahs. Now that you understand what a master, what a kadosh, what a tahar, what chavivas the mitzvahs my Rebbe has, I want you to talk for a second about his chesed. Because we know, oh, let's go, Tuesday we do chesed. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, my Rebbe who values every minute, didn't sleep on Shabbos because he didn't want to waste time for his learning. Yeah? He was like a driver for Yad Eliezer. He would go to like pumpkin shops and deliver groceries. You know, the son would run it up. He would run it up, leave notes on the door, people aren't there. One year he was in a hospital with a family member, Erev Tisha B'Av. And if you go to any hospital, there's so many people helping and chesed organizations. And someone was going around giving out food, something, Erev Tisha B'Av, you know, giving something. And Rebbe, like, appreciated so much that here they are stuck in the hospital, Erev Tisha B'Av, and someone's giving out food. The next year, Erev Tisha B'Av, Rebbe said to the Rebbe, you know what? We should go do the same thing. I have so much Hakaras HaTov. Let's go to the hospital. And this Gadol B'Torah, this guy in Nigla, in Nister, in Midos, he went to the hospital, he's giving out food packages. that's his chesed. But the biggest chesed, his biggest chesed wasn't wrapping up the vegetables. It was giving the most important thing in his life. What's the most important thing in his life? His life, his time. His time. His time. Rebbe learned every minute. But for a Talmud, he'll learn with the Talmud, he'll answer questions for the Talmud. Whatever Talmud needs, he'll do. One year I offered to help build a sukkah. I don't know why I offered, because I'm not a builder. I don't know what I'm doing, I have thumbs. And I was struggling, building, and I think Rebbe ended up building the whole thing himself. Rebbe gave me lunch. He made me lunch. And you think, what's the big deal? But you understand, he values every second. He made me lunch. Brought out with such a big smile. So excited. Chesed. Chesed. Chavodin. Every time he knows, whenever you bump into Rebbe Tversky, it just happened to me. And you could just, the smile that lights up his face. How are you? Rebbe wasn't a talkative person. It was against his nature. But he would go to a Talmud and smile at him. Make him feel good. Make him feel really good. That's how he's doing. I want to discuss my Rebbe's ending. It's Patira. He's going to really blow you away. My Rebbe was in shul, and I was there when the family was trying to reconstruct a little bit of the events, but the chazan was just starting Chazaras HaShatz. And my Rebbe has a long Shemot Esrei. When he davens, he's mamish l'fnei Hashem. He can only hide so much, right? We watch the daven. We don't know what's going on in his heart, but we see at least the outside. For sure, Rebbe was still in the middle of his Shemot Esrei. And it's amazing, you know, when you think about Chabad Islam and four Kedoshim, such stories going around about all of them. But not everyone was. It wasn't like they all davened. One person davened there once a month. One person just started davening. This is Rebbe's regular meeting. But the murderers, they walked in the shul. They killed someone outside of Chabad Islam. They walked in the shul. They went straight from my Rebbe. They could have gone straight. They could have gone right. They went left. Straight from my Rebbe. And the family believes that Rebbe was for sure in the middle of the Shemot Esrei. Rebbe Shemot Esrei, he was the first carbon in the shul. Second, first, right, the very, very beginning, before the whole fighting and shtenders throwing it, till him throwing. It was in the middle of his tefillah, it was Davut Hashem. Listen to this. Rebbe Akiva is getting his flesh combed out. And Rebbe Akiva is being makabel omah and shalom. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akiva, Hashem Akiva. And his talmidim are saying, Rebbe, how are you doing this? How's it possible? Person has a headache, they stub their toe, they have a cold, their avodas Hashem is on a standstill. Rebbe Akiva, he's getting his flesh combed, and he's being makabel omalchus shamayim. Rebbe, how could you do this? Listen to Rebbe Akiva's response. Rebbe Akiva says, kol yomai. All of my days, I was waiting for this moment. When am I going to serve Hashem b'chol nafshecha? Rebbe Yeruchim, the Bavitz, Mashiach of Mir, in Europe. Says we learn from here. If Rabbi Akiva wasn't preparing his whole life He wouldn't have been able to do it. The Rebbe Akiva that we know that died at that moment, he had the strength because his whole life he was waiting. When is Hashem? When am I going to be able to die b'chol nafshecha? When am I going to be able to do it? Preparation was the key. And I want to tell you something. The Rebbe was ready. Listen to this. Dying al Kiddush Hashem was a topic my Rebbe spoke about very often. Just now, on the internet, there's a clip floating around. The Rebbe had a Chanukah party 2 years ago. I heard it just now. He says, you always have to be ready. Because you never know, an Arab could come with a knife. This happened to him, right? An axe. A knife. He said, an Arab could come with a knife in Chicago, in New York, even in Yerushalayim. These are his words. Even Yerushalayim, you always have to be ready. This is something he spoke about with his wife. This is something he spoke about with his kids. If someone would die in a car crash, the news Rebbe would say, Chaval, his time was up, and he died, but it wasn't al Kiddush Hashem. This is a dream. This is a hope. My Rebbe, what a schuss. They opened up his farm, his chassam sofer. You know what page was dog eared? Mises, Kiddush Hashem. That was dog eared, his chassam sofer. That was on his mind. That's what he wanted. That was his dream. That was what he spoke about. Rebbe told his wife that if someone dies because he's a Jew, he's a kaddish. If he dies while he's doing a mitzvah, he's a chassid. If he dies in the middle of Shmon Esrei, he's a tzahar. He's pure. There's a sefer that was published many years ago that tells a story that happened maybe 30 years ago. 20-something years ago. During one of the wars, a siren went off. People were running out of shul in B'nai Brak, and there was one avreich, which they came to the shiva, and someone said, I know this is your father. I was there, and he came in. I know this story is about your father. And they said, it was one avreich. They said, why are people running? Is there a better way to die than in the middle of Shmon Esrei? This is what the Rebbe said, 20-something years. Is there a better way to go than being so close to Hashem? So much so, this was so part of their life. Listen to this. Every day, Rebbe would go to the mikvah. Every day. Most days, lots of days, before Shacharis. But if Rebbe didn't make it before Shacharis, for whatever reason, Rebbe would always go right after Shacharis. Right after Shacharis, he would go to the mikvah. And when the news broke to Rebbe's family, that this is what happened, the Rebbe said, she had one question. I heard her say this. She had one question. She wanted to know so badly. Rebbe make it to the mikvah before Shacharis that day or not? Did he make it to the mikvah? Did he die? Was he able to die b'tahara? Did he make it to the mikvah? She sent one of her sons down to the car. Go to the car. Go to the car. Where's the car? By the shul, right? Go see it. She said, the towel was wet. She was so happy. The Rebbetzin was so happy. She said, I'm so happy. His towel was wet. He went to the mikveh that morning. He had that extra level of kedusha of tahara, milah shmona esrei. His towel was wet. She said, if Rebbe could have picked a misa, if Rebbe could have picked, he likes to do all mitzvahs and all the hidurim, all the chumras. He could have picked a way to die. What's a pick? I would like, people say, I want to die peacefully in my bed. Rebbe said, I want to die, al kiddush Hashem. I want to be mekadoshim shamayim v'rabim. As Rebbe's dream. She said, okay, maybe Rebbe wants to live a long life, of course. Not his prime. Klal Yisrael needed him so badly. The whole Jewish people needed him. But this is the Misa. It's a nechama for the family that Rebbe got to go in such a, we say, horrific, barbaric, but to die al Kiddush Hashem, b'kedusha, b'tara, emil shmon esrei. This is a nechama. I want to just say a few quick lessons. A few quick lessons that we learned from Rebbe. The stories are coming out of hand. The story, speaker, comment. People are coming in. Someone could have, I wrote down 4 pages of stories that I saw. I wrote down a page or two of things that the yeshiva is going to come out with a booklet. There's so many. I want to share a few. Rebbe, whatever Rebbe did, he did. You know, people, you run to davening, you run here, you run there. Whatever Rebbe did, he did it with shalom. He did it with ruchas hanefesh. He smiled at you, he smiled at his whole body. He made you feel so good. Yeah? He did a mitzvah, he did it with everything. He did it with everything. One of my rabbim said he once saw a Trisky came late to daven. You come late to daven, you throw on your tefillin, you quickly rush, catch up. So Rebbe, there was no such thing. He put on tefillin, he did the mitzvah of tefillin. It was the same mitzvah of tefillin if he was at daven 15 minutes early or at daven late. He did the mitzvah of tefillin. How many times do we rush through? Doing the mitzvah. Now I'm here, I'm doing this mitzvah. I'm daven marek. Learning Torah, doing chesed. We just do without putting ourselves totally in it, without Yishev Adas. One idea, Rebbe was always looking for ways to grow more in Torah, remember Torah better, feel closer to Hashem. He said an interesting idea. I remember Rebbe saying is that, you know, there's so many times in life where we're in unusual circumstances. We're waiting in an airport, we're waiting for a doctor, this happened, that happened. If you learn Torah then, if you have Torah that you learn in a funny place, the Torah will stay by you. Well, you remember that time when I was sitting on a plane for 6 hours? Just an eitzah. How to remember Torah better. Rebbe was a genius. He knew all the Torah. No, he's always looking for a way. I want to remember a little better. If I learn Torah Friday, that's a good time. I'll remember what I learned. It's a little bit out of the box. Once the Shabbos, Rebbe's talking about taking advantage of all these times. Another thing was that my Rebbe, he mentioned this, by nature, he's a very shy person. He's a very reserved person. Rebbe moved out of his comfort zone. Most of us, talk for myself, we like to serve Hashem in our comfort zone. When I'm awake, when it's good, I'm nice to people I like. We have our comfort zone, and we'll serve Hashem. We'll be out there, Hashem, in our comfort zone. But to move out of our comfort zone, that's difficult. Oh, people could say, "Oh, your Rebbe was a genius. Rebbe worked hard. Rebbe worked so hard. He worked hard in areas that were difficult for him." Just want to end with a mashal. Rebbe's brother, Meir Twersky, Shlita said, it's such a beautiful mashal that if you look at his life, the picture of his life of Avodas Hashem, and you think to yourself, what does that have to do with me? Am I gonna stop drinking milk? Am I gonna eat fruit from one place, meat from one place? I don't even know what an Erev Tchumen is. You know, I'm going over here, over there. What does that have to do with me? I'm not wearing glasses outside. What does this have to do with us? What does that have to do with us? And Rebbe said, you know what? You can't even do that stuff. You know why? Such a good work. All of my Rebbe's chumras, and this was a product of his tremendous Yedias HaTorah, his tremendous Yirah Shamayim. That's what he said. Imagine a person in threadbare, broken, ripped up pajamas. Yeah. Imagine such a person taking these fancy gold cufflinks and putting them on. What are you doing? What are you doing? That's not for you. His whole life was beautiful. It was for him. His chumras were beautiful. Beautiful cufflinks adorning his life of Avodas Hashem. But for us, we have to look at foundations. We have to look at what got my Rebbe there. His thirst. My Rebbe's thirst. For Kedusha, for Tahara, to be close to Hashem. Mitzvahs are not just about doing them. Mitzvahs are about becoming close to Hashem. This is something we take with us. This idea of like, who talks about Kedusha, but wanting to be close to Hashem, learning Torah, doing every mitzvah with everything that we have in it. Now putting on tefillin. Now I'm Dan Marv, now I'm learning Torah. The thirst for Kedusha. What a delicious, can you imagine if we could get the pleasure once in our life? Half the pleasure my Rebbe had when shaking a lulav, you think he had a hard life because he had chumras? Imagine that pleasure. Just want to end. When something like this, very difficult like this happens, we have to remember something very important. Who could dare claim in this room, in this world, who could dare claim to have the intellect to understand Hashem's ways? Hashem's ways are way beyond us. How could someone say, how could Hashem do? What do you mean? How could you ask questions on Hashem? How could you ask questions? No questions. How could we come? We could pretend to understand Hashem, that we say, Hashem, hey, this doesn't make sense to me. Who are you? Who are you? You're going to have to make an eyeball? Can I make the universe? We can't do this. We don't understand Hashem. Hashem's ways are way, way beyond us. The famous mashal. You take a two-year-old boy and a father, the two-year-old doesn't understand what his father does. And you know something? If the two-year-old would understand what his father does, you know what that means? It means one of two things. Either the two-year-old's a genius on the father's level, or the father has the brain of a two-year-old. We pretend, we think we can understand, supposed to understand the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah to learn. But understanding Hashem's ways, if we think we can understand it, then it means either we're Hashem, which we're not, or Hashem's like us. That's not Hashem. So when something like this happens, something so terrible, there's so many, 24 almanos, 24 yusomim, I'm sorry, 24 orphans in one block, period of 10 minutes. Very, very hard, 4 almanos, still people very sick, should be davening for. We have to strengthen ourselves. We have to remember, like the Ram says in Ilchos Tainus, everything Kodesh Baruch Hu does, it's messages for us. This message was a direct message to every single person in this room. And we could look at all the people, all the Kedoshim that were Nifter. But for me especially, take a look at my Rebbe. Hagana Gadol, Moshe Tversky, Satsal, Hashem Yikum Doma. A life of Avodas Hashem. A thirst for Kedusha. Always looking for ways to get closer to Hashem. Rebbe should be a male Tzioshe, Klai Yisrael. We need Mashiach. It's Hashem. Our tefillas, all the Kedoshim should go before Klai Yisrael. We should have no more tzaras, but we should learn from them. We should learn from their lives. We should become closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Quick announcement just about the Vod. It was one of the regular Vod.